Hello, lovely listeners. I am your host, Pamela R. Haynes, multi-award-winning author of two books, Loving the Brothers and Loving the Sisters. I interview self-published authors from around the world. It has been another busy week in the Haynes household. Boo Haynes has been sitting his GCSE mock exams, and we wish all the students the very best in their studies. This week, I've received complimentary tickets to attend the Miss Caribbean and Commonwealth Beauty Pageant. So now I have the Baton Awards on the 24th of November and the pageant on the 26th of November. Any excuse to buy a new frock and new shoes. If you want to see how it all went, follow me on Instagram at lovingtheauthor to see our red carpet appearance. I had a radio interview with Imani from Conscious Radio, and if you would like to check out my interview, go to my Linktree account, which is linktr.ee/PamelaRHaynes. In this week's episode, I interviewed the lovely Norma Broadstock, author of The Triumph of Motherhood. Let's jump into her interview now. See you on the other side. Hello there. How are you doing, Norma?
I'm doing okay at the moment. Just recovering from an eye operation 5 weeks ago today. Yes.
Well, I wish you a speedy and full recovery.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was quite, I didn't know what to expect. And I didn't want to look it up on the internet because I didn't want to know. So I was a little bit anxious as to how they're going to anesthetize me and stuff like that. But it was pain-free. It was done within about 15 minutes. So it was brilliant. So a lot of people keep asking me, people phoning me up and asking me, what was it like and so on. But I think it's something you have to experience yourself, really.
Well, I know. I've had several operations.
You've had cataracts done.
And more as well, yes, on both eyes. So I fully understand.
I think the technology has moved on somewhat. So, you know, and I had a very nice young man who did the operation. He was very, very caring, you know, and it was good. It was good. Lovely. Good experience, I have to say.
So how was your summer?
Oh, well, in July, I went to England for a family reunion because we've got this huge family, and we've got a website that my cousin who lives in America set up over 20 years ago. So every 4 years they have a reunion, but this one should have been in 2020, but COVID had other ideas. So it was then 2022, and I was part of the planning committee. So we did a lot of the work on Zoom. And so I went over for the reunion and met a lot of family, lots from London that I didn't know, and some from America. And so that was good. That was very useful. And I think, well, and there are people we met that we didn't know we were cousins. And then when we look at the family tree, you could see how closely related we are. So that was exciting. But I got COVID. I got COVID 2 days after the reunion. I was quite ill and I had to fly back to Portugal. So my journey back to Portugal was, I was ill on the plane. But fortunately, Marcia and Renee traveled back with me. So that was good. Yeah. For those people who don't know, Marcia is my daughter.
Just for me to make it clear to the listeners, Marcia M. Spence, who was my original publisher, is your daughter. And Renee is your granddaughter. Yes. So you're saying that they came over they were on the same flight as you. So they were with you when you were poorly.
Yes, they traveled back with me. So they looked after me, which was nice. And then they stayed for about 10 days. And then Dawn is my other daughter. Dawn and her daughter came for 3 weeks. And during that 3 weeks, Marcia's son and his son came for about 7 days. And then when they left, Fiona and her family came for 12 days. At the end of August, I was both Bob and I were totally, totally exhausted. I had to remind myself that I am 75 and I can't do what I used to do when I was 60 or even when I was 70. And they noticed the difference in my mobility. And yes, and I just get tired quite quickly now. Yes, it was hard, but I loved it. I loved it.
Of course you would.
I don't feel I gave them my best or the things that they were used to when they visited in years gone by. But, you know, that's it. That's how it is. Age is, takes over and your body can't cope anymore.
How long have you lived in Portugal?
Well, on the 2nd of November this year, will be 16 years.
What does a typical day in Portugal look like for you?
For me, currently, if I give you, on a Monday, I go 10 pin bowling in the morning, and then we go for lunch. And in the afternoon, I will probably do some gardening or make some preserves and do dinner. So that's one of the days. Today, I went shopping this morning, and then we came back and we had lunch, and we went into town, into our big town, which is about 18 kilometers from us, to the electricity company to talk to them about our bill and to do some other shopping. And in between that, we stopped at two different cafes and had coffee and cakes. And I came back and I did dinner. And now I'm talking to you. So gardening, mainly most of my days, but I just can't do as much now. I've lost a lot of plants because it's been such a dry summer. We haven't had any rain for about 6 months. So things are dry. My lawn was like straw. But we had a little rain last week and things are starting to perk up again.
But you are involved in some organisations in Portugal. I know you said that the last time we spoke, they were about to host you for your book launch. Tell us how that went.
Oh, that was way back in May. And it went very well. But it was also Father's Day in Portugal. So a lot of men came. And so it was celebrated Women's International Women's Month and Father's Day in Portugal. And the book was well received. I sold quite a few copies and people are coming back to me and said, oh, what we really enjoy reading the book, the stories. And they also want to do a collaboration. So Marcia has been over to have a chat with them and we're probably looking at doing a collaboration maybe next year. Who knows?
Can you remind us, what is the name of your book and why do you, is your second anthology that you're taking part in. Remind us of the first book. What was that called?
The first book was Confidence Confidential, and that was written way back in 2017-18. And for my chapter, I wrote about moving to Portugal, about the confidence that I had to do this and, all the obstacles and how I overcame them and actually making the decision to leave my children and travel here to set up home. It was around how we manage that and how confident you have to be to challenge some of the obstacles that we came across. And there were quite a few obstacles. At one point, we thought we were going to lose the house because in Portugal, if you pay a deposit on a house, it goes directly to the sellers, it's not kept by their lawyer or anything. It goes directly to them. And more often than that, they spend it. So you can't actually change your mind. If you've made a promissory to buy a property and you pull out, you have to pay them double. If they pull out, it's the same. But what happened was we had a delay in selling our house. And so there was like a month in between. They said, well, we have to pay them all this money. And I says, no, we're not paying it. What we could do, because they'd gone and used that money to buy land and their mortgage people are on their backs. Well, we didn't have a mortgage because we'd sold our property. So we didn't have a mortgage. But we needed to close our deal in England so we could pay for this house. Anyway, what we had to do to secure this was that we had to pay 1 month of their mortgage so that we didn't lose this place. So there's lots of little things that we had to overcome, and the language, because we are 9 kilometers from the nearest town, 15 from our capital, our town, where all the administration takes place. It's where our council houses and all that. So we were forever traveling, and you can't find the things you want because we left a lot of things behind, and we think we can replace them when we get here. It wasn't that easy. It was about that. I'd written about how we overcame some of those obstacles. And after about 4 weeks of pretending we were on holiday, then we had the reality kicked in and said, oh, we're not really on holiday. We live here and we've got to get things done. So, and one of the shocking things, because we came in November, we didn't realize how cold the winter is here because the houses are cold. And we were absolutely frozen. I remember sitting in front of it was an open fire then, with my woolly hat on and my scarf and the sofa pulled right up to the fire, and I still couldn't get warm. I remember crying and said to Bob, what have we done? We need to go back. The winter here, it doesn't last very long. And after that, we got prepared. We put in heating and so on. So we're very comfortable.
Tell us about the chapter in your second book.
The second book is the title of the book is The Triumph of Motherhood. And that came about it was Marcia at the publishing house put out a call because she said, you know, she's been doing this for some time and she's published a lot of books. But the majority of the books were about sadness and domestic abuse and all this sort of thing. And so she wanted something that was uplifting, really, for the team in the publishing house. Because I think when you're working with people who are, you know, with all this, being through all these domestic violence or sexual abuse or all the abuses that you can think that is given to women, it affects you as the listener. You kind of take it on board, and it can affect your mental health unless you have some way of some outlet. And I think that's what was happening. The was feeling quite low because there's just so much of this sadness coming towards them. It's yet another woman who's been abused, yet another woman who's been raped, and all this. There were things about actual parents disowning their children, and there were very few uplifting, happy stuff. Because I've read some of the things that come to the house. And so that's how this came about. And initially, I think about 12 people applied to do this. But in the end, we ended up with eight phenomenal women who've put their stories about how they deal with motherhood, how it felt when you first became a mom, and how, you know, the endurance, really, because it is hard work. And you just have to get good mothers just have to bear it. And you, as long as you're alive, you're a mother. It doesn't matter how old your children are. And I think your children also respect the fact that you're there, love the fact that you are there for them. But it doesn't always work that way, because there are children, and I've come across adults here who's had really bad childhood and bad experiences with their mother. So when I talk about my mother, they said, oh, we're really jealous because we've never had that. And when I talk about my children and how I am with them, and that was based on the way I was parented. I mean, my mom was very strict. She's from Jamaica. She would have been 100 next year. So you can imagine, old school. I never got hit by any of my parents, never got beaten, got shouted at. And mom did try once, and I told her that she don't do that, because I spent a lot of my childhood days with my grandparents and my spinster aunt before I went to England. I was kind of spoiled in that family, very spoiled, but not in a brattish way, in a nice way. I had nice things, I had nice experiences. So I tried to pass that on to my children and to children within the family, because I've always had children around me. And friends' children, I love to see children do well, whether they're mine or yours. I just love it. And I never wish any child any ill, you know, think well, or people say, oh, this, my, when we'd set up in Sandwell, we'd set up this service for boys, particularly black boys who had been excluded from school. And most of the times we arrange meetings, and a lot of the times the parents that you really want to turn up wouldn't turn up. It's always the one that wants their children to do well will turn up. And the ones that you, and you know that their children are fine, but the ones that you really want to reach out to, they never turn up. And we had this big program going where we got lottery funding and we employed teachers and we employed people to go into the schools. And that ran for quite a number of years under the umbrella of the West Bromwich African Caribbean Association. So that was me trying to reach out, because I think I picked this up during my work as a children's social worker. There's so many young boys that have been excluded or on the verge of. And so I wanted to do something. And so we set this up. So I've always been involved in the community as an activist. I've always been involved with children. As a young mother and wife, I experienced domestic violence. I had the willpower and I thought, well, no. And I think it has something to do with how you were raised as a child. And if you were raised as a child to be confident and to know yourself, and you know that there are people there that love you, it won't stop you from getting into that situation, but it helps you to get out of the situation. Whereas there's some people, women who are in domestic violence, have nowhere to go and don't feel that they are loved by anybody. And so they stay and get this battering all over and over and are killed, and the children suffer. So very soon on, I think we were married 9 years, when I thought, I'm not having this. And I just left everything, took my children and went home.
From what I remember, you moved around the UK quite a bit as well. Tell me what that was like, because when you arrived in the UK, where were you based?
In Oldbury. I came to my parents in Oldbury, West Midlands, and I hated it because it was cold and miserable, and I wanted to go home. Years down the line, I went to the British Council in Birmingham and asked them to repatriate me, but they wouldn't do it. I don't understand, but I can't afford to go. I want to go back to my grandparents. I lived in Oldbury until I was 18 when I applied to do nursing. And so I lived in Birmingham, Selly Oak, for a couple of years. Then I got married and I lived in Handsworth, Birmingham. Yeah, we bought a house. I was 20 when he was 23, and we bought a house. And we were like, wow. It was, I think we paid something like 9,000 for the house. Lovely little house. And then my husband then worked in the jewelry quarters as a diamond cutter. And there's this company, Canadian company, was opening a factory in Wales, and asked him and two others if they would go to Wales and train the youngsters in that factory to do the diamond cutting. So they found us a house. We left our house in Birmingham and we went. One of the things, it wasn't my decision to go. I was pregnant at the time with my youngest, but he decided, I'm going to take the job and we're going. And that was it. And I was away from my parents, away from all my support network, to this place with three children and expecting one. And that's where the marriage broke. It actually broke down there, and I moved back to my parents. I got a council accommodation in West Bromwich, and then Bob and I got married, and I moved to Walsall. And then we moved back to West Bromwich. We bought this huge house in West Bromwich, and then we came to Portugal, and that's it. Since Bob and I were together, we moved every 12 years, we move. So I'm having itchy feet at the moment. I want to move. But but I think I'm going to stay here.
It's been wonderful to hear your story. Do you have any book projects lined up? Do you see another book in you?
I have quite a lot of things going on at the moment, health-wise, because apart from my eyes, then I've got rheumatoid and osteoarthritis. So I'm in pain every day. Every time I wake up and I'm in a lot of pain. I have to go to Lisbon, the hospital in Lisbon, to see the rheumatologist every so often. And then I have to go. It's long traveling to get to the hospitals and so on. So I've got those things to think about at the moment. But what I am trying to do, I'm trying to put this cookery book together, not for the public, but for the family, because I think it's cooking is a science. Unless you get all the measurements spot on, it's not going to work. And I'm one of these cooks that I'll throw a bit of this and then I taste it and I said, well, it could do with a little bit of that. And that's how I cook. So it's difficult. I've tried writing it and I looked at it and I said, that can't go out to the public. You know, it needs to be so precise, spot on, that if people are going to use it. So that's what I'm working on at the moment. And I have also joined a group here, a charity group. They do a lot of stuff for people in need. So I'm part of that. And I've joined a sewing group. What we're doing is, because of trying to get rid of plastics, so we're making in this group shopping bags out of materials, fabric, and we sell them, and that money goes to our charity. So that's one of the things I'm doing. And that's it, really. That's what I do. So
you have both hands full with lots of activities to do. But if people wanted to get hold of you or wanted to buy your books, how would they do that?
Well, they can buy the books. Well, I'm on Facebook, Norma Broadstock. You can get hold of me on Facebook. You can buy the books from Amazon worldwide, or you can contact Marcia M Publishing House. If you are in Portugal, I have got some stock, which people have been coming to me and getting their copies, signed copies. So, yes, it's exciting. My neighbor's daughter, it's their holiday home. They live in the town, in the city. She's just set up a well-being online stuff because she did psychology and she's done a master's, she's doing a PhD. So she's read my book and we talk a lot. She's a lovely girl. Yeah, and she talks about my book to some of her friends, and a friend in Croatia has got a copy and stuff like that. So, yeah.
That's wonderful,
that's
Norma.
It, I think.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Author to Author podcast. It's been my pleasure talking with you and finding out more about you. So until next time, many, many thanks.
You're welcome.
It is competition time now, and I hope you were listening very carefully. Where is Miss Norma originally from, and where does she live now? Direct message me on Instagram at lovingtheauthor with the correct answer by this Friday for your chance to win a copy of her book. Good luck and see you next time. Bye for now.